Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. We have been talking about personality this week and character and the self, okay? And yesterday we talked about the power of the rising sign or the ascendant and the magnificence of the spinning earth and the miracle of how it spins like a top without ceasing, you know, for eons and eons and eons at the same motion. So this planet is definitely like a piston or like an engine or like a rotating ball bearing of sorts. And we live on this engine. Right, so we are literally charged by the magnetism that exists on this planet and the rest of the engine of the solar system, and that is why astrology is so important, is because when we talk about astrology, we are analyzing the magnetic structure of the planetary bodies in the system, not just the Earth, but all of the planets. And as part of today's topic, we are going to take a look further into the first house, which is the house that is rising, the 1/12th of the universe that rises in the east right when you were born. If you wanted to find the first house in the sky, like if you look directly to the east, then it would be just below the horizon, 1/12th of the way around the Earth. And that's where the first house is located. It's that slice of pie with the point of the slice right at the center of the Earth. And, of course, the outward parts of the slice going on to infinity beyond the Earth, right? But that first house is just below the horizon, okay? And when you look at it in your natal chart, if you have a wheel in front of you, then that first house, you can put a big number one in it. It starts in the left edge, in the far left edge where the nine would be on any clock. I would say from where nine is to where eight goes, that would be house number one. You can write house number one in that. And you can actually number all the subsequent houses that follow house number 1 through 12, and you'll end up with 12 ending right where the 1 begins, okay? So that's house number 1. Now, the house number 1, the energy of the house number 1, I would say, by far dwarfs, dominates, and actually carries the rest of the wheel. So I was trying to stress the importance and the significance of this house yesterday. I hope I did get through to you and make some sense, because if you know the first house, especially if you want to be an astrologer, in order to understand the type of person you're dealing with, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and spiritually, the first house is what we pay attention to. We pay attention to all kinds of things. First of all, we want to know what sign is on the cusp of that first house. And obviously, that's the rising sign. If you're not a zero degree rising, which most of you are not, zero rising. Zero rising is very rare. Maybe it's about 1 in 300 or so. It's very, very rare. If you do have a zero-degree rising in equal house astrology, then each one of your houses will be made up of one full 30-degree sign, and you won't have combinations of two signs in each houses. So zero-degree rising people are very unique. In fact, they are what we call more pure rising signs than any other rising. Like if you're a zero Aries rising, you're going to be more totally Aries in your life reflection than if you were like 10 Aries rising, which would include the last 20 degrees of Aries in the first 10 degrees of Taurus included in that personality. See, that's how it works. There's 30 degrees in each and every house, 30 full degrees, and one sign is 30 degrees. So if your rising sign starts in the middle of a sign like 15 degrees Pisces, then that means that you'll have two energies in that first house that will make up your character and your personality and yourself. The last 15 degrees of Pisces from 15 to 29, and then the first 15 degrees of Aries from 0 to 15. So we include the elements of understanding which two signs combine to make our personality, considering we are not the pure zero-degree rising like very few people are. Like, I'm 20 Libra rising, but that means that I would have only the last 10 degrees of Libra in my first house from 20 to 29, and then the first 20 degrees of Scorpio. So even though I'm Libra rising, my personality is a Libra-Scorpio combination. Okay? So I want to make that clear. So when we take a look at character and trying to understand how the baby, as a little baby, is going to react personality-wise, we would analyze and and research the placement of that ascending sign in the east, what degree of ascension it is, and the combination of the two signs included in that first house as far as the baby's personality. So it gets pretty interesting. You know, you could be Taurus rising, then you'd have Gemini probably included in that first house. So you'd be a combination of a Taurus-Gemini effect. Isn't it amazing? You might be a Cancer rising late, like Cancer 28, and you'll have most of Leo in that first house. So even though you're Cancer rising, the Leo vibration would have a lot to do with your character, your personality, and childhood. And that's really the focus. All the energies and all the karma as revealed in first house analysis include entire structure of personality, self-expression, okay? Childhood karma, okay? Childhood experiences, all right? And also appearance, and also self-esteem, attitude, okay? And also, I would also think that as far as first house goes, how other people see you, or how the world sees you in a way that we don't see ourselves. Okay? And also, really, I think one of the main structures as far as becoming spiritual in life is embracing your first house qualities. Whether you know it or not, as your life goes on, you're going to have to come to grips with your personality and how you express yourself, with the childhood karma and your appearance, with your self-esteem factors and your attitude and how the world sees you, and embrace that and nurture it and pamper it. In other words, in order for a person to be truly spiritual, their self-esteem must be checked. You know, one of the major reasons why people are depressed, are self-destructive, are prone to alcoholism and drug addiction is because their self-esteem is too low. It's because they never came to grips, or they never confronted the childhood factors and the factors concerning self. They never formed the relationship with the self as designed in the first house. You know, and the first house is so heavy, it is so intense, you know, that for the baby to actually come out of the womb and be revived at that moment, to get that first house structure, that character structure, or for the doctors and the nurses or whatever to choose the cesarean to happen just at this second, you know, to embrace just the rising sign that baby needs to set up the entire wheel of the chart, and also to set up all the first house character attributes, is such a critical focus. I'm telling you, if a baby's revived 1 minute or 4 minutes later, it would change the whole thing. Because 1 degree of the zodiac, see, 1 degree, there's 360 degrees in the whole circle that goes around the earth, one full circle as the earth is spinning. So in about 3 to 4 minutes, 1 degree of the zodiac actually moves. You know, I think that's right. 360 times 4 is 1440. I think if you divide 60 minutes into that, you should get 24 hours. Let's check that with my computer brain. Yeah, you divide 60 minutes times 24 hours will give you 1,440 minutes. So that means every 4 minutes, we change one degree on the horizon, in the eastern horizon. So, you know, depending on which one of those 360 degrees of rising personality we need, you know, see, my as a baby, I needed to be born and revived right at 11:21 a.m. in St. Louis, August 11th, to catch that 20 Libra rising and to catch the moon in the first house in Scorpio with all the squares on it and all the sextiles on my rising, just to get the character and the self-expression and the childhood and the personality I need. Now, let's take a look at the complexities and the just the astronomical amount of uniqueness, you know, the infinite amount of uniqueness that can be designed depending on first house structure. See, because not only are we concerned now with what sign is on the horizon as far as ascendant, what sign is also included in the first house as far as the second edition, we are also concerned with so many of us who have planets in that first house that are about to rise. You know, a lot of children are normally born with first house planets. I've looked at a lot of charts in my day, and I'd say the majority of the charts I have seen have planets in the first house, which actually, what they do is they produce focus, and they produce significance or priority on certain different areas. I'll give you an idea. Like if Mercury is in the first house, then there will be a focus on communication or communication karma in the the childhood. You know, usually if there's sextils or trines on any planet, that exudes and promotes focus, or whatever that planet's meaning is. If there's squares and oppositions, that's karma, and there's usually pain associated with growth and evolution concerning what the planetary involvement is. But don't you see, the planets involved in that house when you're born, including both signs covering that house, unless you're zero rising, and also how those planets are aspected, all are part and partial to designing your character. And just to give you an idea, you know, of how many infinite amount of possibilities we have, why we are dealing with so many different types of personalities. You know, it's just unbelievable. It blows my mind. So Mercury will put a focus on communication not only in the childhood, but in adult life, you know, and this will be very, very important. People with Mercury in the first house live and die for communication. If it's not there, they're frustrated. They're freaked out. And if it wasn't there in their childhood, they remember that. It hurt them. It bothered them. It held them down. See, so first house Mercury is it's also like, because Mercury is Lord of Gemini and Virgo, it's like adding Gemini and Virgo energies to that first house. So once again, you could be a Pisces rising, right? And then have Aries included in that house. So your personality's already Pisces and Aries are a cross between sensitive and aggressive. And then we throw Mercury in there and we add new elements to your personality, because Mercury, Lord of Virgo and Gemini, we find out Virgo qualities can jump in there, or the critic, the analyst, and also Gemini qualities are the one that talks too much, or the one that needs tremendous amount of communication to understand. And, you know, you throw a couple of squares on that planet, maybe a square from Saturn to Mercury, or from maybe something like Pluto to Mercury. Well, Pluto is Lord of Scorpio, so now we have Scorpio elements coming into that first house, and Saturn is square Mercury, and Saturn's Lord of Capricorn, and we have Capricorn elements coming into that first house. So we are looking at somebody here who is Pisces rising with Aries in the first cusp, with a first house Mercury, square Saturn, and square Pluto. You know, this is possibly somebody that we might think is abnormal, but astrologically, they'd be perfectly normal. You know, a psychologist might call them a schizophrenic or a split personality or multi-personality, but we would recognize this person as being just somebody that's different. And they could, depending on how they wake up in the morning, they could either come across as Pisces, Aries, Gemini, Virgo, Scorpio, or Capricorn. And then, you know, on top of all that, you know, you might have Pluto in, let's say that Mercury was in Aries. It couldn't square Pluto unless Pluto was in Gemini, or I'm sorry, Pluto would have to be in Cancer. Okay, so if Pluto was in Cancer, then we're also adding Cancer qualities to the personnel. So it does get rather interesting. Like, if you take a look at my chart, and I always use my chart as a guinea pig because my personality is so diverse, right? But I have the Libra rising, so there's my charming and charismatic quality. With Scorpio addition, there's the intensity, the extremism in my personality. With Moon in Scorpio, and that's the Cancer factor, so sensitive appearance, sensitive personality, nurturing needs, you know, as far as that. Very sensitive about my appearance and what people say about it, too, not being able to take criticism in that area, right? And also, the Moon in Scorpio, squaring Pluto in Scorpio, in Leo, adding more Scorpio intensity to my personality. Squaring Mercury in Leo, here's the Gemini-Virgo parts of my personality, the critic and the communicator. Squaring the Sun in Leo, so there's the loud and the extrovert, the enthusiasm, you know, and then squaring Saturn in Leo, also the karma with myself and my personality, thrown in, the logic and the Spock-like practicality added to it. Then you look at my 20 Libra rising, which has about three sextils on it. It's sextil Mars, it's sextil the Sun, sextil Mercury, and sextil Jupiter. So, you know, that is the chipper and the teacher and the philosopher and the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. But don't you understand, by analyzing first house planets and first house qualities, we can start to begin to understand the intricacies and the differences that we all share. And then, you know, at that point, you can start to get to a point where you might start to understand why we have so many squabbles. Whoever just called on line 5, hang on. Why we have so many problems getting the personalities to meld in relationships. You see my point? Because really, you know, in relationships, if you want to get along, you got to go with the I'm okay, you're okay. okay, which means I like myself and I respect where you're coming from too. A lot of the reasons why relationships don't work in the long run is because you either don't like yourself and what your personality is, and also because you don't like yourself, you have a weak foundation. It's difficult for you to enjoy or like or respect others. If you can't like yourself, your own vehicle, how the hell are you supposed to enjoy and respect someone else's? See, and then it gets really complicated, right? A lot of you have stellions in the first house. Let's say you might have Mars and Jupiter and Saturn all in that first house. Well, first of all, that not only means a childhood that's jumping, you know, because Mars creates lots of energy in there, and Jupiter lots of travel and expansion and a need for freedom, and Saturn is, now this is your major karma of your life, yourself, your childhood. See, there's so much focus in trying to understand someone's personality that as an astrologer, by looking at someone's chart and seeing that first house and the planets that are in it, you can begin to understand the complexities that an individual might have in trying to get along with themselves. That path, the high self-esteem, that path, the high self-love, could be blocked with lots of obstacles, childhood trauma, childhood frustration, childhood sensitivity. And, you know, unless a parent is into astrology and understands all these complexities, then my God, the child, you know, it can be more susceptible to being hurt and having too much pain. In the childhood, when he grows up, the parents would say, well, gosh, Farley, we didn't know you were that sensitive. We didn't know that you would carry a grudge or that you would never forget little details of rejections or failures that we told you about. You know, gosh, we didn't know you had a Scorpio moon with four afflictions, an obliterated moon in that first house either. Otherwise, we might have been more kinder or gentler with you, more nurturing, more pampering, more loving with you. But instead, we thought you were a soldier. We thought you were strong, a warrior, a marine. You know, and that's not the case. So, you know, it's very, very interesting. Now there will be those instances. There will be those instances that either you will be a rare rising, a 0 degree, or you won't have any planets in the first house. Ah, and then right away people will think, well, I don't have any planets in the first house, so that means I don't have any karma. Oh, excuse me, but no way do you not have karma with the childhood. Because, see, there is a planet in your chart, somewhere in your chart, that whether you have planets in the first house or not, it still controls the karma and the character and the self-expression and the attitude and the appearance and the self-esteem factor and how the world sees you, because that planet controls everything that goes on in the first house and everything that goes on in your chart. It is called the chart ruler. Okay? Which means if you know what sign rising you are, if you've gotten your astroscope or whatever, then you will be able to find your chart ruler, because I'll give it to you now. And by cross-connecting where your chart ruler is in your chart, okay, where it is and how it's aspected, you can understand what went on in the childhood. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but let's say if you're Aries rising with no planets in the first house, well, Mars is chart ruler and lord of Aries. In other words, wherever Aries goes, Mars cross-connects. That's right. No matter what sign Aries is in your chart, Mars would be ruler of that sign Aries, and it cross-connects to the house that Aries rules. So if you're Aries rising, Mars would be the controlling planet in understanding childhood personality and appearance. So you know, besides the two planets included, the two signs included in that house, besides whether you're 0 degree rising, beside if you have any natal planets in there, there's still one planet we focus on as far as what goes on during the childhood, the chart ruler, which means if you're Mars, if you're Aries rising and you're a child and you're going through an opposition to your Mars, you're going to have a problem or a karma in your childhood during that transit. Or if you're having an opposition to your Mars now and you're Aries rising, then you're going to be having a karma that would connect you with your appearance, with your self-expression, with your self-esteem, and maybe remind you of your childhood. See, so that chart ruler always refers back to the original source of who we are. It keeps going. If you're Taurus rising or if you're Libra rising, either one of those risings, Taurus or Libra, is the ruling planet is Venus. So the planet Venus would be chart ruler and lord of the first house in control of your chart and your childhood if you were either Taurus or Libra rising. So you're right, Venus is my chart ruler. That's right, I'm Libra rising. If you are Gemini or Virgo rising, there's a planet that rules both of those signs too, Mercury. So even if you have no planets in the first house, if you're Gemini or Virgo rising, you look to Mercury as chart ruler and lord of the first house, how it's natally aspected and how it's being transited to understand what is going on with your character, with your self-esteem, and with your personality and your childhood effects. Isn't this great? If you're Cancer rising, we got a biggie. Then the moon is your chart ruler. And if you're Leo rising, we got another biggie, the biggest one. The sun would be your chart ruler then. And then if you're Scorpio rising, don't cut this planet short. Even though it's small, the chakras are very powerful in the planet Pluto. And Pluto would be your chart ruler if you're Scorpio rising. If you're Sag rising, Jupiter would be the chart ruler. And if you're Capricorn rising, Saturn would be the chart ruler. And finally, if you're Pisces rising, Neptune would be your chart ruler. So those are the planets you cross-connect to childhood, personality, self-expression, self-esteem. If these planets, if you have planets in your first house, okay, or your chart ruler are finely aspected, which means that they have good aspects, oppositions and sextiles with no afflictions, then that means you'll have a lot less karma than the rest of us concerning attitude, ego, self-expression, character, self-esteem, childhood, appearance. These are people that appear to be gifted and more balanced and oftentimes of angelic quality if they don't blow their egos, you know, with that stuff. They do seem to be blessed in this area of the self, okay? But most of us will have afflictions. The majority of us, 90% of us, will have afflicted planets either in the first house, an afflicted ascendant, or an afflicted chart ruler, which would define the karma of the childhood, and also it would overlap to the appearance, to the feelings of self and the character, and also to the self-expression, the attitude, and how the world sees us. See, so depending on how much time you spend getting up in the morning and getting dressed and taking a shower and putting on makeup and fixing your hair, because you want to look good, you know, that's the karma of appearance. That depends on how you feel about yourself and how you feel when you look in the mirror, whether you're dressed sloppy or whether you're dressed up. Your attitude on yourself, do you love yourself, your self-esteem factors, and whether or not you care how the world sees you and whether or not you are still affected by the trauma of childhood are all qualities that can be revealed and discovered by analyzation of the first house, the rising house, the house the rising sign controls. And if you were able to record yesterday's show and today's show, yesterday personality defined, today's show character defined, you have a wonderful foundation for learning about the science of astrology. Okay, so there's some real good topics for you. As the planets go into Leo and trine my Jupiter, I come up with some real doozies, I guess.